manual appeared to more times before his disciples, once in a room where they had just gathered a few days before to celebrate the Last Supper, and again on the road to Galilee. He then disappeared and was dropped off by his father in Syria, and lived in Damascus without being recognized. Manuel and Saul. It was at this time that he was joined by his brother, Thomas, and his mother. His brother informed him of the terrible things that were being done to his followers by Saul. Manuel told him not to worry, he would take care of it. Saul would be later known as Paul, and for the most part, he was responsible for the creation of Christianity. It was his understanding of Jmanuel's teachings that survived to help form the New Testament. Thomas informed Jmanuel that Saul had become a bitter enemy and was issuing threats against any who would believe in him. He was even writing letters to the synagogues in neighboring countries to find any who would follow Jmanuel's teachings, so he could bring them to Jerusalem for persecution. Jmanuel decided to take care of Saul himself and went about his plan. He knew that Saul was on his way to Damascus, so he planned to confront him on the road and teach him a lesson he would not forget. Since Saul believed him to be dead, he would think he was seeing a ghost. Jmanuel prepared himself with some secret things, powders, salve and liquids, and left the city and hid along the road, waiting for Saul. During the night he saw a group of men approaching along the road and could see Saul among them. Jmanuel started a fire, mixed it with his special preparation, and created a tremendously bright light which blinded the group. As the smoke covered the men on the road, Jmanuel yelled out so that Saul could hear him. Hearing the voice of Jmanuel, Saul thought he was hearing a ghost and became very afraid. Jmanuel continued to speak through the smoke, telling Saul to go into the city and let his disciples teach him how to live. Jmanuel then disappeared into the night and headed for Damascus. Saul and all of his men thought they had heard a ghost and were frozen with fear. They could not imagine how Jmanuel could be speaking to them from the grave. Scared and confused, they continued on to Damascus. A disciple of Jmanuel's preached to Saul the new teachings so that he would slowly understand. Still afraid, though, Saul was slightly confused, therefore, he didn't understand very much. Saul was of the belief, as were the high priests of that time, that once you died it was possible to resurrect the dead. They did not believe in reincarnation. Because of that, when Saul heard the sound of Jmanuel's voice and saw the light, he thought he was resurrected, and began to use this in his teachings. This is where the idea originated that Jmanuel arose from the dead and was resurrected. Saul had no idea that Jmanuel had ever died, but had only tricked him. Jmanuel, his brother Thomas, Judas Iscariot, and his mother then began the long trip to India. During that time he preached in many countries and often had to flee because his speeches were so revolutionary. That is why his journey to India took several years and was connected with treat hardships. In the country which today is called West Pakistan, way up in the north near the last foothills of the western Himalayan mountains, his mother became very ill and died when Jmanuel was about 38 years old. She was buried in a little town which today is called Mahari, Pakistan. A small stone monument marks the grave where she lies. After he lost his mother, Jmanuel traveled to the area known as Kashmir, which crosses the northern part of India, where he continued to spread his teachings further. When he was about 45 years old, he married a young, pretty woman who bore him numerous offspring. Like every normal head of a family, he decided to settle down and raise his family, living in Srinagar, India, which is located in the northernmost part of the country. From there he made many journeys and kept on preaching his new teachings. At the age of about 115, he died a natural death and was buried outside of town in an unknown grave. Judas Iscariot died at the age of about 90 and was buried at a place not far from Srinagar. But the firstborn son of Jmanuel, called Joseph, wrote down his father's story and left India after his death. After a three-year journey he settled in Jerusalem to live out his remaining days. He brought with him the original scrolls of his father's teachings, and hid them in the tomb in which Jmanuel had originally lain. He thought that this would be the safest place. The Talmud of Jmanuel. It wasn't until 1963 that the Pleiadians led a Greek Catholic priest named Rashid to the site where the scrolls were buried. The writings had been placed into resin and were kept in a crystal-like box given to Jmanuel by his father, Gabriel, when he was young, just for this purpose. Written in old Aramaic script, the scrolls were found under the flat rock where they had been hidden almost 2,000 years earlier by Jmanuel's son, Joseph. Rashid began translating the scrolls from Aramaic into German and making copies, for he knew it would be his job to bring them to the world. The scrolls were long and contained over 120 chapters of information. So far he had only sent 36 of them to Billy in Switzerland. Hiding out in Baghdad with his family, the good priest was being followed by assassins from both the Christian and Jewish faiths. Fleeing for his life to Lebanon, he camped there with his family in a refugee camp. But he and his family were found by the Jewish military, who attacked the camp and slaughtered most of the refugees. Barely escaping the massacre with his family, he fled into the night, at the cost of losing the scrolls. Shortly afterward, the priest and his family were murdered by a terrorist gang who machine-gunned them down in hatred and anger. Only the 36 chapters which he had translated survived. The fate of the original scrolls is unknown. They have been translated into English, and today are available in a small book called The Talmud of Jmanuel. Published by Wildflower Press in America, it also comes with a companion book called Celestial Teachings, written by Dr. James Deardorff, a Christian historian. This book is the result of 6 years of study on the Talmud of Jmanuel to determine its validity. The Lord's Prayer. In school and in church, most of us learned the Lord's Prayer. In the Talmud of Jmanuel, we read it in a slightly different way. Jmanuel was trying to teach those around him how to become aware of the spirit within us and our connection to creation. No one understood the concept of meditation that he was trying to teach them, but instead they thought it was a prayer to God to help them. Being misunderstood, the Lord's Prayer was written down in the Talmud of Jmanuel the way that Jmanuel had first spoken and taught it to his disciples. It was a meditation called My Spirit. Here is the Lord's Prayer in its original form, taken from the Talmud of Jmanuel, the original writings of Jmanuel. Reprinted with, My Spirit. Known as the Lord's Prayer, My Spirit, you are omnipotent, your name is holy. May your kingdom be incarnate in me. May your power reveal itself within me, on earth and in the heavens. Give me today my daily bread, and thus let me recognize my sins, and I shall recognize the truth. Do not lead me into temptation and confusion, but deliver me from error. For yours is the kingdom within me and the power and knowledge forever. Amen. I agree, the mysteries of earth. The Pleiadian contacts in Switzerland continued for almost 3 years. During this time they answered many questions put to them by Billy, members of the FIGU, his friends, and family members. Centered around the many unexplainable events of Earth's history, most of the answers provide an insight into our past that does not appear anywhere in our school books. I'm sure if given the opportunity, most of us would ask many of the same questions about the mysteries of Earth. What is the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle? A mystery that has long plagued us is the strange disappearance of ships and planes in the area known as the Bermuda Triangle. Many books have been written on the subject, offering a variety of theories on the unexplainable disappearances of ships, planes, and people. It has even been suggested by some that the peculiar events surrounding the Bermuda Triangle may be caused by ETs, Satan, or some other dark force. To the Pleiadians, the events in the triangle are not caused by any extraterrestrial influence. As a matter of fact, even ET ships have been affected by the phenomena from time to time. As far as the Pleiadians are concerned, the events of the Bermuda Triangle are quite logically explained. Actually, there have been three different places on the planet Earth where similar effects have occurred. Old pirate stories have done much to lend an aura of intrigue and mystery to the subject. The area called the Bermuda Triangle is part of the old continent of Atlantis, which extended from the west coast of Africa all the way to the east coast of South America, and northward to the area where Florida is now. It is in this location that the descendants of this lost continent still live, in a base far beneath the sea. They are quite peaceful, and do not represent a threat to the surface world of Earth. They have ships capable of underwater travel and interstellar flight, and have been seen entering and leaving the water on occasion. But this is not the cause of the strange disappearances. There exists in the triangle, as well as off the coast of Japan and Madagascar, what you might call a dimensional door to a parallel universe. In an effort to explain it, the Pleiadians took Billy into the parallel universe so he could see for himself. As the ship entered the dimensional door, Billy noticed that he could see our present time Earth behind the ship, and in front of him he could see the parallel universe with three Earths looming into view. It was necessary to make the trip in one of the more advanced Pleiadian craft because the small beam ships would not be capable of returning. It was explained that the dimensional doors are caused by the effect of two giant suns located 720 light-years from our Earth. Certain high-energy radiations from these two giant bodies occasionally come together at certain points on our planet. When their energies cross, it forms a rift tear in the fabric of time, causing unpredictable results wherever the rip occurs. Since the Earth is moving, this radiation most commonly hits the planet in three different locations: the Bermuda Triangle, off the coast of Japan, and near to Madagascar. This only occurs at that time when the Earth moves into the focus of this wandering radiation. This crossing of energies serves to open a dimensional door to the parallel universes. This effect is erratic and unpredictable and disturbs the magnetic energy in the area for a short time. On many occasions in the past, it has caused the floor of the ocean to rise up and appear as an island for an hour or so. Ships in the night have run aground, only to be pulled down when the ocean floor sinks. Airplanes have flown into this dimensional door, which acts like a cyclone, and they have found themselves displaced in time forever. In most cases, ships and places that have entered these areas slip forward in time and will probably reappear in the near future. In the parallel universe, entered through the Bermuda Triangle, there exist three Earths, caused by an accident 3,500 years ago when the planet Venus came too close to the Earth, disturbing the harmony of both of the dimensions and the two planets closest to the Sun, Mercury and Earth. A rip or tear in time resulted and caused two different Earths from different time epochs to be pulled into the dimension of the future planet. Because of this, there are three planets now existing in our parallel universe: the ancient prehistoric Earth, a newly formed Earth which is still covered in gas, and a third future Earth, existing as we know it in the present. These are three planets are close together, and they can be seen by the human eye at the same time. The future Earth is approximately 500 years in advance of us. A society has developed there with space travel abilities, which has led to cities on the moon and beyond. The Pleiadians are careful not to let themselves be known to this future society, for they regard them as still too aggressive to get along with. It is interesting to note, though, that 500 years into our future some form of our society does still exist. With all of the drama of survival here on Earth today, our future is certainly in question. The prehistoric Earth is one which existed at the time of the dinosaurs. This was the state of the second planet, a prehistoric world with no sign of human life. Billy was so intrigued with the dinosaurs on the planet that he talked some Jays into letting him get out of the ship and touch one while it had been temporarily paralyzed by her technology. He even took a couple of pictures which, oddly enough, show a dinosaur with a large pyramid in the background. This seems very unusual since man did not exist on Earth when the dinosaurs roamed the Earth, so who built them? The third planet Earth is one which is only just now forming from gas into solid matter, and represents the very beginnings of our present-day planet. Not yet in solid form, it presented little or no interesting features and was not explored. Earth had since moved out of the position where it is affected by the crossing of the strange radiations from the giant suns, so the dimensional doors should be closed forever. Because of this, we should not be plagued with any more disappearances or strange stories from this area, at least the ones caused by this strange energy. It should be noted, though, that the area of the Bermuda Triangle is known for its sudden storms that can still cause problems, but these storms do not have the capability to move objects in time or interfere with the magnetic forces of the planet. Who was the warrior called Quetzalcoatl? He was a very high-ranking officer of an extraterrestrial group that was exercising control over Egypt for a short time. He was wise and kind and was often sent on special missions. One of the missions took him to South America, where he was praised as a god by the Aztecs. He came into contact with Huitzilopochtli, a leader of the Geyser people, who led the Aztecs into creating the ritual of human blood sacrifices. Quetzalcoatl was against these rituals and a bitter feud developed for power. In the end, Huitzilopochtli was able to drive Quetzalcoatl out, forcing his return to Egypt. Are there ETs living under Mount Shasta in California? Today, under a mountain in Northern California, there exists a race of extraterrestrials called Hyperboreans. This mountain is called Mount Shasta. The entrance to their city is high on the eastern side of the mountain and inaccessible to us. Their ships are gold in color and are sometimes seen entering or leaving the mountain. They are white-skinned people who usually have long, curly, blonde hair. They sometimes come out of the mountain to local towns, but are very shy toward Earth people. They are the descendants of the ancient Hyperboreans who came to Earth over 30,000 years ago. What is the purpose of an ice age? Known to us as a glacial period, this is a natural event in the development of the planet. We have to accept the fact that the planet is a living entity, and it must evolve just as we must. Since it does not reach for perfection as we do or go through periods of material life and non-material life, sleeping, it has its own way of evolving. This is done through an event called an ice age, or glacial period. This is a natural process, covering entire regions or even the entire planet with ice. Temperatures fall, and changes occur in atmospheric pressure. As a planet ages, the amount of ice subsides. Ice ages occur in rhythmic patterns in accordance with the size and type of planet. The time of an ice age can be determined by simple mathematics. On Earth, this cycle lasts about 700,000 years, which means that every 700,000 years a certain region of Earth will fall into an ice age and cover from 1/6 to 1/4 of the entire surface of the planet. The periods in between are interglacial periods, where from 1/10 to 1/12 of the Earth will be covered. We have had 4 glacial periods in the last 3 million years, and we are only 150,000 years away from the next interglacial period and 550,000 years from another great glacial period. All forms of creation go through a process of waking and sleeping. The Earth is no exception. As the Earth has become more evolved, less area of the planet is covered in ice, sleeping, because this would damage some of the other life forms on it. This ice age, or sleeping period, serves as an evolution time for the plants, animals, and humans. This means that a beautiful flower changes into a still more beautiful one. Animals also evolve. For instance, the prehistoric mammoth has become the elephant. The ozone problem. For many years the Pleiadians have controlled the dangerous effects we have caused by our irresponsibility toward nature. Many different chemicals are discharged into the atmosphere, including bromine gas, which slowly dissolve the ozone layer. As early as 1975 they informed us that the ozone layer is 6.38% affected and destroyed. This began 60 years earlier. It allows ultraviolet radiation into the atmosphere, affecting all creatures. There are currently 3 different areas where the danger exists. Bromine gas is not the only source of the problem. Our scientists are aware that explosion motors and matter-destroying processes of other sorts, including atom-splitting devices, also contribute to the problem. Since 1945, the problem has increased greatly, due to the splitting of the atom. Some governments have designed missiles that release bromine gas into the atmosphere as a weapon, stupidly thinking that such an action would be harmless to their own country. To close these ozone holes may take hundreds of years. The problem looks worse when we realize that the holes can wander. The splitting of the atom is also a far greater danger than we realize. Setting atomic energies free through the use of nuclear plants, atomic testing, and explosion motors releases electrical energies at very high frequencies. This is not to be confused with what we think of as electricity. It's a different kind of energy that affects the ultraviolet radiation field, which our scientists are not aware of yet. Normally, this energy mingles with oxygen to generate huge quantities of ozone. Normally, there is one part ozone to 500,000 parts air. When an explosion occurs due to atom splitting, the ozone value increases to 28 parts. These dangerous energies then destroy many varieties of microorganisms important to the preservation of all earthly life. The ozone value then decreases very rapidly. The effects of these energies can continue for hundreds of years. Atomic explosions also affect the Van Allen belt by disturbing the electrons and photons important to the function of Earth life. The belt exists at a height of 620 miles and consists of charged particles in constant motion, traveling in a spiral-like course from pole to pole. The problem is worse today, just as predicted. Try to educate yourself about this problem and make your voice heard. We are in serious danger. Who built the statues on Easter Island? The occurrences on Easter Island are connected to the city of Tiahuanaco, a pre-Incan culture that existed 300 BC to 900 AD, chiefly in Peru and Bolivia. Even though they are more than 3,000 miles apart, they were ruled by the same leader and represent the last colonization of ETs in this area around 13,000 years ago. Out of this group came a semi-ishwish leader named Viracocha, who was very greedy for power. He conquered the 12,000-foot-high city of Tiahuanaco and then settled on a small island in Northeaster Island called Mo, which means bird in the old language. He and his followers were Lirans with giant bodies, around 30 feet tall. They taught the local natives how to use their highly developed machines, which were then used by the natives, out of tribute, to construct the statues we see today on Easter Island. Similar events also happened in Peru near the cities of Pisco, Nazca, and Sacsayhuaman. On lava walls on Easter Island there are reproductions of spaceships that were made by the local people who lived there. These were attempts at telling the story of Viracocha and his reign over them. After several thousand years, the giants suddenly became ill from disease and fled Earth in their ships, taking all their technology with them. Where they landed is not known. It is presumed they died in their ships. Many of the statues were never finished. The natives tried finishing them with primitive stones and failed. They apparently tried to get the gods back by finishing the statues with red hats made from clay from a local volcano. The Pleiadians have been able to ascertain that the giants were somehow in contact with a race of humans in Andromeda, prompting an expedition by the Andromedans to Earth 2,568 years ago. These humans from Andromeda were around 5 foot 10 inches tall. They stayed for 20 years and 7 months, building up an advanced culture. They're responsible for constructing the Nazca lines, half-tube channels that protect electrical energy centers buried in the ground. The Andromedans could not acclimate themselves to the earthly atmosphere and were forced to leave in order to save their lives. Who are the giants and gods of Greek mythology? Over the years, many races of titans have colonized many parts of the world. Some of the ancient Lirans who came to Earth were 25 to 35 feet tall. Many of the Greek gods were among these. Hercules was over 10 feet 11. He and many of the Greek gods were descendants of the Hyperboreans. Noah was around 12 feet tall, and Adam was almost 16 feet tall. The great god of the Sumerians, Gilgamesh, was more than 24 feet tall. Many of our ancestors were giants who, by interbreeding and adjusting to our atmosphere, have become smaller. Ancient dwarf races are likewise becoming larger as they evolve. After adjusting to their planet, the present-day Pleiadians, whose ancestors were also giants, are about the same size as we are. The Three Great Pyramids. The age of the pyramids has always puzzled the historians and scientists because the clues left behind for examination are confusing. The Great Pyramid of Giza, sometimes called Khops or Giza Pyramid, stands just south of Cairo on a great plateau of land along with two other pyramids, which are smaller and built at different times by different techniques. The Great Pyramid or Giza Pyramid as it is called, covers 13 acres, using 6.5 million tons of stone, and stands 481 feet tall with its capstone in place. It was built 73,300 years prior to 1956 at a time when the constellation Ra stood in the star sign of Cancer. At the time the Giza Pyramid was built, there were also two other pyramids built of the same design and for the same purpose. One of them is in China and is buried deep under the ground, it may not be discovered for some time. There is also another one somewhere in South America that is just below the surface of the ground, it may be discovered sometime soon. The pyramids were built by a group of Lyrians who designed them for their own needs. When this race vanished, the Great Pyramid stood uncared for and ignored for many years. It wasn't until 300 years before the Great Flood that once again the pyramid was of interest. By the way, the Great Flood is incorrectly thought to be around 9,000 years ago, but Pleiadian information tells us that it was really in the year 8104 BC. It was during this time that there lived a king, named Saluk, who had a son named Sorid, who had the gift of seeing the future and often informed his father of events that would come to pass. Sorid had a dream that a great planet would come dangerously close to the Earth, causing tremendous noise and darkness. Earth would be thrown into great upheavals of water, avalanches, and darkness. The loss of life would be great. Sorid told his father of his dream and of the consequences of it. Knowing his son had a great gift of vision, the wise king counseled with his scientists to verify the time this event would happen. It was discovered that a great comet was indeed going to come very close to the Earth, causing the events of the dream to happen in about 300 years. It was decided to warn the people of the future by leaving a message on the pyramid. By order of the king, the story of the dream was handed down from one king after another, who all prepared the pyramid as a place of refuge. Lime mortar was used to cover the pyramid so that it would be safe from the water. Once the mortar had sealed the entire pyramid, the story of the dream was pressed into the side of the pyramid, so the people of the future could not miss it. When the time came and the great destroyer comet was approaching Earth, the people took heed and went into the pyramid for shelter. The events of the dream came true, for the comet turned the Earth on its axis and caused great flooding and destruction all over the planet. The area of Egypt was flooded and was underwater for several years. Most of the people of Earth were killed, and only a few managed to survive in the large underground caverns that had been hollowed out under the pyramid. Thousands of people were able to live for many years in the subterranean world until the waters subsided. Once again, the pyramid had served a useful purpose. Historians have been misled by the material which covers the surface of the pyramid and by documents and writings which tell of the pyramid being built by the Egyptians. It was built by the ancient sons and daughters of the heavenly suns, the star travelers, who are the essential settlers of this world. The Egyptians have only remodeled the pyramid on several occasions for their own needs. The ancient heavenly suns who built the pyramids were well informed about the future of Earth, including the future which still faces us in this century. Because of their great knowledge, the Pyramid of Giza was built with the mathematical ability to tell us about coming events, particularly events which will affect us from outer space. The changing position of Earth and its axis was even taken into consideration, for they felt the need to let us know about certain events to come, including the fate of the Earth. A prophecy was built into the pyramid to warn those in the future. The exact time of the event of cosmic destruction is when the solar light of the central sun of the Milky Way, as well as the light of our own solar sun, falls through the tube-like opening which reaches from the outside of the Giza pyramid to the center in a straight, uninterrupted line and shines on one particular point. More was not told about this, for only those with the ability to unravel and figure out the math would be allowed to know the exact date of the cosmic event. The idea is that if you do not have the wisdom to solve a puzzle or riddle, then you are probably not ready to be responsible with the answer. Are there ETs living under the Great Pyramid? A group of extraterrestrials originally called the Bifad came from the far regions of the Ring Nebula. They are the ancestors of the Lisa Rarissim, who was exiled around 3,300 years ago with 72,000 of his followers.